May be seated. It's a real joy for me to be here. I appreciate the invitation to come, and I'm glad to be here. Appreciate the good songs and everything the Lord's did already in the services. We appreciate the Lord's goodness, His love to us.
Amen.
And I appreciate the invitation to come and be in this meeting today and tonight. A lot of churches won't let an old preacher come, so I appreciate. I'm kind of like Brother Shepherd said about Brother Milby. A lot of folks, one fellow said a while back, said, "You don't mean he's still living, do you?" To another friend of mine, I said, "Well, you ought to tell him I'm going to live forever."
Amen.
Yeah, I thought about what he was talking about there a while ago. Paul said, "For I reckon the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us."
Amen.
So actually, all the temporary sufferings and things that we go through now will not be worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. In other words, all that will pass away.
Yep.
When we leave this world, it won't be worthy to be mentioned.
Amen.
When we behold Him as He is.
Amen.
And I'm glad we shall see Him as He is.
Yes, sir.
May God bless you. Well, I'm going to read here. I had you to sit down there for a minute, but if you want to and you're accustomed to, stand if you'd like to. And we'll read 8 verses in Isaiah chapter 6.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me."
Amen.
Father, we do thank you for the word of God. We're glad you forever settled in heaven. Thank you for loving us and saving us and keeping us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here at this place today. We confess, Lord, our inability. We pray that you be pleased to teach us and touch us in a special way.
Yes, yes.
Give us the power of God it takes to preach. Open our hearts and minds to understand of the truth. We'll be eternally grateful to you. We pray in Jesus' blessed name of thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'm trying to preach today on lips. Here, you can read about the lips. Of course, 3 times he mentions lips. But let me say, first of all, what Isaiah saw here, when he saw the seraphims, and they was crying, Holy, holy, holy,
Amen.
Is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. He saw the holiness of God. And of course, by seeing the holiness of God, he saw the helplessness of himself.
Right.
And I want to say this right here. All the attributes of God are controlled by His holiness.
Sure they are. That's right.
One of the saddest mistakes that's been going on at least for 60 years is the love of God being preached apart from the holiness of God.
Exactly.
And many people in our day now and have for years, they say, all you got to do is just believe John 3:16. Just ask Jesus to come in your heart without mentioning anything about any other Bible verses about salvation.
Right.
And it's just not so.
Right.
You know, when you take that apart and away from God's character and His holiness. A fellow said to me a while back about wrath. He said, well, what is wrath? I said, wrath is holiness responding to sin.
That's right, man.
That's the only way holiness can respond to sins in wrath. Amen. That's why upon the cross, Jesus underwent the wrath of God.
Yep.
He offered Himself to God without spot through the eternal Spirit. And so God judged our sin in the person of His Son, and God's holiness responded to our sin.
That's right.
In the person of Jesus Christ, and that's why He had to undergo the wrath of God.
Yep.
And He satisfied the justice of God. He first died for the sovereign, then He died for the sinner. He offered Himself to God without spot to the eternal Spirit. And God was satisfied and accepted the sacrifice Christ made and judged our sin in Christ. So if you have Christ in you, you're saved from your sin.
Amen.
And by being saved from your sin, you're saved to serve.
Right. Amen.
And if you're saved from sin, saved to serve, you have assurance that you're going to see Him one day.
Amen.
That is, see Him glorified and see Him right. in His glory. So here Isaiah saw the glory of God, but he saw the guilt of himself.
Right.
How guilty he was.
Yep.
No sinner will ever get saved without seeing himself undone without God.
Yep.
It's not in man to turn to God in his own strength.
Right. Right.
All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to his own way.
Yep.
So the problem is, with us, all sinners, is our own way. You have to give up your way. So here,
Amen.
First of all, we see the sinner's lips in verse 5. When Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and dwell among people of unclean lips. Well, we live in a generation now of unclean lips. All kind of things being said
yes,
that should not be said.
Right.
And so the Word of God said that there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. That is, none that understands his need or the spiritual things of God. It's not in man to understand that. God must open his understanding in order for him to understand
right.
anything spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So God must awaken and arouse and break his heart. In other words, he must
that's
be
right.
touched.
Amen.
And so here, you know, there's none righteous, none that understands. The Bible goes ahead to say in Romans chapter 3 and verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher, and with their tongue they use deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. In other words, like a serpent under their lips.
Yeah.
From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
That's
right. So people showing forth what they are in their heart by their words.
Right.
That's right. And if your words condemn you and your words are the wrong kind of words, that's bad evidence of the condition of the heart.
Right.
Now, everybody might misspeak sometime and might say something wrong, but if you've got the Spirit of God inside, just as soon as that happens, Holy Spirit will correct you and you'll understand
right.
that you've said the wrong thing. The Bible said their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, and their feet are swift to shed blood. And the destruction and misery in their ways.
Right.
In other words, the lost person is under the judgment of God. He's a child of wrath, not a child of love. The Bible said in John 3:36, he that believeth in Christ hath everlasting life, he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
Right.
Ephesians 2 and verse 3 said he's a child of wrath by nature.
Yep.
Not a child of love, but a child of wrath.
Right.
So he's under the wrath of God. He lives in a love dispensation. And God genuinely loves everybody, John 3:16.
Yep.
God told the world that he loved everybody and loved the world when Christ died, John 3:16.
Right. Yeah.
And Christ takes the death of the grace of God for every man, Hebrews yeah. chapter 2. At the same time, the unbeliever is under the wrath of God. He's a child of wrath. So if he dies in that condition, he goes down under the wrath of God, not the love of God.
Right.
One man said the other day, he said, well, really, he said, You send yourself to hell. He said, God don't send anybody to hell. I said, I bet you couldn't even find hell. And if you could, you couldn't get in. Revelation 1:18 says Christ has the key to it.
Right.
So actually what man wants to do is dethrone God and fix them up a God like unto themselves. You'd be surprised if people in America believes in a God that they can get along good with and live in sin.
That's right.
That's not the right God.
No,
there are gods many. See, first thing Isaiah done here, he saw the holiness of God.
Yeah.
And heard the seraphims crying, "Holy, holy, holy,
amen.
Lord God Almighty." As far as I know in the Bible, there's never love, love, love.
Right.
But there's holy, holy, holy,
amen,
more times than one.
Amen.
So God is first holy.
Right.
And if you're saved, you want to be holy.
Amen.
If you don't have if you're not in pursuit of holiness, I doubt that you're saved.
Right.
I believe when God touches your heart with His grace and love, He puts you in pursuit of holiness from that time forward. You can't reach what you know you should reach, but you have the desire.
That's right.
I said, I'm saved real good inside. I'm trying to get saved better outside. But I'm already saved good inside.
Amen.
Amen. As far as God's concerned, inside, if we're saved, there's not anything wrong with us.
Right.
But outside, we say with Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?"
Yeah.
So there's two of us if we're saved.
Right.
No use talking to a fellow about two natures that don't have two, because he don't understand it. But if you've got two natures, you understand there's an inward man and an outward man. There's an outward man perishing day by day, and an inward man renewed day by day. It's the inward man that's born of God. The outward man's born of Adam. And he still has the death sentence in his body. He has blood poison. And that's why people give up the ghost, and that's why they get sick. Now, some confused charismatics that believed in all this healing stuff, they think that they want you to believe they don't ever get sick.
Yeah.
And I've been saying they just let their wife preach when they're sick.
Yeah.
They get sick too, because we still have the sentence of death in our bodies. This pronounced on us. And so there's the sinner's lips. Then there's the believer's lips in verses 6 and 7. One of the seraphims flew, and here's what he did, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and laid upon my mouth, and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thy iniquity is purged, taken away, and sin's purged." Of course, purge means to cleanse from impurities. This is a picture of God touching Isaiah, saw himself. He saw what a wicked person that he really was, and confessed and acknowledged. Let me ask you, have you ever acknowledged before God what you are by nature and the wickedness of your own heart, uncleanness of your own lips, how you've offended God? Have we ever acknowledged that before God from our heart? Listen, if you miss repentance, you miss faith.
That's
you miss faith, you miss the Savior.
Yep.
You miss the Savior, you're still a sinner.
Right.
The only way you can come to God in Christ is to turn on yourself and your sin. Be crucified with Christ. God judicially crucifies us with Christ. That is, He rules us dead.
That's right.
Reckons us dead. Paul said, "I'm crucified." Bible tells us you're dead. Your life's hidden with Christ in God.
Right.
So God judicially rules us dead in salvation. That is, the old man.
Right.
Dead to sin. Quickens the spirit and saves the soul. Circumcises the sin side. Cut the inward man loose from the outward man. We have a man in Christ now on the inside. That's what you call the new birth.
Right.
Being born again. Not corruptible, save the incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's why we desire the sincere milk of the word as newborn babes. We like these churches that sticks with the KJV.
Amen. Amen.
We like these preachers that preach from the King James Bible and don't talk about a better translation.
Right.
Does that kind of disturb you when so-called fundamental preachers talk about a better translation?
Yep.
I think we got the best translation you can get.
Amen.
Amen. One brother told me, he said, "Well, the King James Bible is just a translation." I said, "Yeah, but God does a good job translating." Did you ever think about how He translated Enoch from earth to heaven?
Right.
He translated you from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. If you're saved, don't you think He'd preserve His word? He promised to do it in Psalm 12, 6 and 7.
Right.
He said to preserve His word from that generation forever. I'll be the word of God forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it's going to last forever. It's never going to change.
Right.
Thank God for His wonderful word. I like it, don't you?
Yes,
in other words, if your lips have been touched and purged, your sins have been purged, no more cursing,
amen,
no more backbiting, no more bitterness, amen, no more criticizing,
amen,
no more fault finding. Oh, but let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel.
Right.
Philippians 1:27. And let no communication, corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That which is good use of edifying.
Amen.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God before you seal the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ has forgiven you.
Amen.
And so thank God for His grace and His power that controls us here in this world. Thank God that you can't get away with things if you're saved.
Right.
If you're a child of God, you partake of His chastisement.
Right.
And if you're not partake of His chastisement, you're an illegitimate child.
Right.
Bible calls it bastards.
Yes, sir.
And that's not an ugly word. That's in Hebrews chapter 12.
Right.
There's been a birth, though, when a bastard's born.
Yep.
There's somebody born. But it's illegal.
Right.
It's an illegal birth.
Right.
So it's without chastisement. If it's in the spiritual realm, if he's without chastisement, he's just got religion and joined the church and got ducked in the pool.
Yeah.
He just got religion. And so he can drink whiskey and shoot dice, cuss the preacher, go to different versions of the Bible, and God don't bother him because he's not God's child.
Right.
You think that's right?
Yes, sir.
I think that's right.
Amen.
One way you know you're saved is that God won't let you alone.
Amen.
God's been bothering me since He started bothering me.
Amen.
And that's been more than 60 years.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad He bothers me, aren't
Amen.
You? Oh, that gives you assurance. You know that God don't just turn you loose, let you go do your own thing.
Right.
And talk about believing in eternal security.
Yeah.
Well, most Baptists don't believe in eternal security anyway. They believe in temporary security. Eternal things have no beginning and no ending.
Right. Amen.
Christ is the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Christ is our security. That your security goes all the way back and all the way forward.
That's right.
If you're in Christ.
Amen.
What if I said, do you believe in predestination? I said, I believe what the Bible says about predestination. He said, oh, you believe one born to go to heaven, one born to go to hell. I said, who told you that was predestination?
Right.
Predestination has to do with destination.
Right.
Predestination.
Right.
Ain't that right?
Amen. That's right?
So, you're predestinated if you get saved. You know, people just half quote Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according to He has chosen us in Him for the foundation of the world, that we should be holy
right.
and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. In other words, when you got saved, He predestinated you to the full adoption.
Amen.
And so your destination got changed when you got saved.
Amen.
When you got saved, you're predetermined.
Amen.
To receive the full adoption. God predestinated that. We have the spirit of adoption now.
Right.
That's Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, 5 and 6. He gives us the spirit of adoption now. But we're heading for the full adoption.
Right. Amen.
That is, when He finishes up on us, we're going to be just like Him.
Amen.
We shall see Him as He is. That's kind of blessing. So Amen. We're really heading somewhere.
That's right.
And that's one reason when you talk about the worshiper's lips. I want to talk about the worshiper's lips just a minute. Now, the Bible said in Psalm 51, verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. So what you need to be doing, and I'm not talking about a bunch of wildfire and just making a lot of noise,
right.
but everybody's supposed to be praising God.
Sure. Amen.
You're told to rejoice in the Lord always.
Right.
And again, I say rejoice.
Right.
So it's always right to praise God.
Surely.
Some folks make a lot of noise and some folks don't make a lot of noise praising God. But you ought not to never come to what we call church and enjoy the teaching, the preaching of the Word of God and the songs of praise and not praise God a little bit in your heart.
Right.
Amen. The Bible said, is it over there in Hebrews, I think, chapter 13, verse 15, that we're to offer by Him, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise.
Right.
So we're to, it's always, I don't have to feel anything out of ordinary to praise God.
Right.
I'm just told to praise God.
Right.
Open my lips and my mouth shall praise Thee.
Amen.
So I want to praise God when I'm by myself and praise God when I'm around other folks.
Amen.
I'm not just trying to put on a show.
Right.
No.
Amen.
I'm offering praise to God because He saw no wretched, ruined, hell-deserving, lost sinner that did not know the facts in the case.
Right.
And I did not go to church to get saved. I went because some folks asked me to go.
Yeah.
And when I got out there, they was preaching hellfire and brimstone and fork and lightning. They weren't talking much about love, but they were talking a whole lot about sin. They were talking a whole lot about judgment without God. A whole lot about going to hell under the wrath of God. And listen, it put fear in my heart. Did you know the Bible said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom? Not the love of God, the fear of God. If you're never brought to fear God, you'll never be brought to love God. It's a reverential fear. And so I got scared. So I said, do you believe in scared religion? I don't know about you, but I got scared.
Yes,
I got afraid of wrath and eternal ruin. I did not want to go down under the wrath of God. And when the church was over, that is, the service was over, God went with me. And God kept pounding on my heart. And God opened my understanding. For the first time in my life, I saw the judgment I was under.
Right.
I saw the hell I was going to. The hell I deserved. I saw how wicked my heart was. I did not know how to pray. I did not know what to say. I did not know what it meant to be saved.
Right.
I was not raised in church. But God broke my will.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. If I was able, I'd jump a little bit. God broke my will. Somebody said, don't you believe whosoever will can come? I said, the problem is there's something wrong with their will.
Right.
You know why these pews are empty? People have the free will to do what they want to, not what they should do.
Right.
They're afraid to do what they want to do.
Right.
Amen. If you're here and you're saved, you're doing what you want to do.
Yep. Right.
You have the will to do. In fact, I've got the will to do better than I do.
Right.
Paul said, the will is present with me. I perform that which is good, I find not.
Right.
So I've got a will for perfection.
Right.
I can't reach it, but I'm in pursuit of it.
That's right.
I'm heading in that direction. When the Lord gets finished up on me, I'm going to be perfect inside and out.
That's right.
What a blessing that is.
Amen.
And so I'm glad we can worship. Worship is adoration. Adoring Him. If He's real to you, you can adore Him as a worshiper.
Amen.
Show forth His praise.
Amen.
You ever took a few minutes off? In the stillness of the night sometime or in your own home, just to worship the Lord.
Amen.
You know, there'd be more worship in private than in public.
Yep.
If you don't worship in private, you don't worship much in public.
That's right.
We call it a worship service. What we ought to do out here is get challenged, do what the Bible says to do, and the true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and truth, for God is the Spirit, and He seeketh such to worship Him. You know what God's seeking for? Not preachers, not singers. He's seeking for true worshipers.
Amen.
If you become a worshiper, you'll get willing to do whatever God wants you to. That's why Isaiah said, when Isaiah started worshiping the Lord, he said, here am I, send me.
Amen.
In other words, I can't do it in my own strength. I'm not saying I'm able, but I'm willing to go.
Amen.
I'm willing. Send me. If you want to send somebody, send me.
Amen.
Are you willing to be sent?
Amen.
I think that's a good question.
Yes, sir.
And so there's the witness lips. Now, the Bible said a true witness will not lie, but a false witness uttereth lies. Jesus said in Acts 1, you shall be witnesses unto me. They asked him about the restoration of the kingdom there in Acts 1, the apostle, Jewish apostle did. And he said, that's not for you to know the time of Satan. God put His own power. But ye shall be witnesses unto me. A witness knows something.
Amen.
You ever see a trial or go to a trial in the courthouse? A witness is the key man.
Right. Amen.
The reason O.J. got off is something wrong with the witness. That's the way it is in this spiritual realm. A witness is the key man. But a witness can't tell something he don't know.
Right.
See, in preaching, you either preach what you know or what somebody else told you. You can't teach a man to preach. I'm not against Bible school now. But you can't teach a man to preach. It takes the Holy Ghost to preach.
Amen.
You can teach a man Bible doctrine.
Yep.
You can teach a man how to get along with people, pulpit manner, how to marry the young and bury the dead and be kind to the babies and kiss dumb animals. But you can't teach a man to preach. It takes the Holy Ghost to preach. See, that's what they thought about them apostles. They said, these were ignorant and unlearned men.
Yeah.
What they were saying, they hadn't been to our school. They're not doing what we said.
Right.
But the power of God was present. There was witnessing. There's witnessing about the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And they're telling the truth. Read the apostles witness all that through there. And old Philip preaching over there, he's preaching about something he knew about.
That's right.
And when he started in Isaiah 53, preached to Jesus, to this man from the same scriptures,
right.
He knew something about it. You can't preach about a person you don't know about.
Right.
When you get saved by the grace of God, God makes the suffering and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ and the ascension real in your heart.
That's
then
right.
You can witness to that.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. I believe that's right.
Yes, sir.
You know, we're to witness about the Savior. I've had people say, well, I don't know what to say to sinners when I go out here on visitation. I said, tell them what God did for you.
Exactly.
God done anything for you to tell others about? That's what Paul did when he preached.
Right.
Every time he started talking, he went right back to the Damascus Road.
Yep.
Right where the light shined around him. Mm-hmm. Right where he fell to the ground.
Yep.
Started the same place. Have you got a starting point?
Amen.
Have you got a starting place? You don't need to stay there. I don't have to go all the way back there, but I got an initial start.
That's right.
One man told me, he said, well, you don't have anything to do with election. I said, well, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 said, make your calling election sure. How could you make it sure if you don't have anything to do with it?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be sure.
Yeah.
Election is a position.
Yep.
You're supposed to be sure that you've been called from darkness into the kingdom of God, dear son, that you've been brokenhearted over your sin.
Amen.
Your will's been converted to Christ. You've been made a new creature in Christ. You have an initial start.
That's right.
Can you go back to that place where you began in Christ? I don't have to go all the way back there and know I'm saved. I know I'm saved today.
Right.
But I wouldn't know I'm saved today if I didn't have an initial start.
That's right.
That's why you need to make it sure.
Amen.
To make it sure that you are saved. Not just saved going to heaven, saved from sin.
Yep. Amen.
Saved from the love of sin.
Yep.
The practice of sin. The power of sin. The pleasure of sin. You got delivered from it.
Amen.
That's what Christ came down here to do. To deliver us from our sin. That's Titus 2:14.
Right.
He gave himself for us that he might deliver us from all iniquity. Amen. Purify us on himself from peculiar people, zealous of good works. He's been working on me ever since he started working on me.
Amen.
We should be getting more holy all the time.
Right.
Then, of course, there's the Savior's lips. And this grace is poured into the Savior's lips. That is, that's over in the book of Psalms. His lips, grace is poured into his lips. Don't you know that's grace? When he said, be of good cheer, it's I. They're about to go down in the ship. He said, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. That didn't make a bit of sense to them because they'd been rowing against contrary wind about 8 hours.
Right.
So that didn't make any sense to them. But that's grace coming out. Amen. From his lips, thank God, that from his lips to disperse knowledge. We know what we know because we know who we know. Do you know him aright? The old timers used to say, and I think it's right, to know him aright is life eternal.
Amen.
According to what Jesus said in John 17:3, this is life eternal. This is what it is. This is life eternal, that they might know thee. This he's praying to God, that they might know thee. The only true God, Jesus Christ whom thou sent, not know about God, but they might know God.
Right.
To know God aright is life eternal. Don't you think, and it disturbs me, that many people know about God, They know about God's doctrines, doctrine of the Bible, mechanics of the church. They know about that. But you must know Him.
Amen.
Something about the character of God.
Right.
You know, first that God's holy. God's righteous. God's loving. God's against all kinds of sin. Your sin, my sin, everybody's sin.
That's right.
Do you know anything about the character of God? I think that's what Christ is talking about. And so the Savior's lips, He said about His sheep there in John chapter 10. He said, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them. They follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father gave them. He's greater than all of them. And they plucked them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." Don't you know that was grace to the hearers?
Right. Amen.
When He makes it real to you, that's grace, isn't it?
That's right.
You know, it's salvation by grace. Something wrong with folks that think salvation's part by grace and part by works, I think. Now, I think there's people led astray, and I believe people can be right in their heart and wrong in their head.
Yep.
And that's why I keep saying, if we can get saved from ourselves. See, we've been saved from sin, but we need to be saved from ourselves.
Yeah.
Need to be saved from what we believe that wasn't so.
Yeah.
And I think about all of us. Or I know I was when I first got saved coming up, and I was learned a lot of things from preaching and teaching that wasn't really scriptural, it's traditional.
That's right.
You need to get saved from that.
Amen.
And sometimes it's hard to get saved from that.
Yes.
It's hard to unlearn what you learned that wasn't so.
Right.
It's hard to unlearn than it is to learn.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's why the Lord told Jeremiah, root up, pull down,
yep,
then plant and build.
Amen.
So a lot of times you're not careful. You unlearn. You have to unlearn some things you learned. It wasn't true. And I think in our churches, a lot of people, they've learned some stuff that's not so. And it's hard to get away from that. And that's one thing the church is good for. You get a good straight preacher, a straight doctrine preacher, and he'll help you to get away from that stuff you learned that wasn't so. And if you'll be teachable, God will shine the light in and let you know some things about Himself. Well, I'm about finished up. I'm talking about the hypocrite's lips a minute. Matthew 15 and verse 8. Jesus said, "This people draweth nigh unto Me with their mouth and honor Me with their lips, but the heart is far from Me."
Amen.
The heart's who you are inside.
Right.
So we can say a lot of things outside with our lips. Every time I mention that, I think of what one old preacher, I heard this, and this fellow, he just preached up a storm. This lady come up to him after the service, and she said, you surely must be a holy man. Said, "You sure preach a powerful message." He said, "I can preach more gospel in 15 minutes than I can live in 15 years. And that's really a sad commentary, ain't it? But I think we're bothered with a lot of that these days. You know, it's really not so much what we say as it is what we do.
That's right.
And we can honor Him, draw nigh to Him, and honor Him with our lips.
Yep.
And our hearts be far away. Have you ever been in the church service when your heart seemed to be, and heart's who you are inside, far away?
Right.
I've had people say, "Well, I didn't get anything from the service today. I didn't get anything from the singing, didn't get anything from the preaching, the teaching, I didn't get anything from that." Well, you wasn't prepared to get anything from it.
Right.
If you're prepared, when the Word of God's going forth, and you don't have to be making a lot of noise,
right,
but the Word of God's going forth, and your heart's prepared, and you can open your heart, and God will help you understand it, and you can receive it with meekness.
Amen.
Thank God for the Word of God. You can be in a land where there's no preachers, you know. You can be in a country where there's no Bibles.
Right.
You can be back in the jungle somewhere. I thank God, since I got to live in the world, I'd rather be in America as anywhere.
Amen.
And since I got to be in America, I'd rather be in the Bible Belt as anywhere.
Amen.
You don't like it here? I tell folks they don't like it here, go over there where the atheist is.
Yeah.
Over there, if you like communism, one fellow told me how good it was in Cuba. I said, "I'll tell you what, I'll pay you away if you sign a paper not to never come back. You go down there and live with sugar whiskers." Amen. I like it well. I said, that's why they're trying to get up here on them rafts and inner tubes.
Yeah.
It's a good down there.
Yeah.
I said, listen, you're law, you like a whole lot. You're too late to make me believe that stuff.
That's right. Amen.
This, you know, really, as bad as it is in America, this is the best land yet.
Amen.
I say, praise God, He allowed me to be born in America,
yes,
born down south.
Yes.
Where they have protracted meetings and still preach the word of God and sing praise unto God. I like it myself.
Amen.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I praise God that I live here in America myself. Amen. I know it's bad. I can talk all day about how bad it is. And it is bad. One man said to me not long ago, he said, it's bad to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I said, no, it's heading in that direction. It's not that bad yet.
Right.
I said, there wasn't even 10 down Sodom and Gomorrah. There's more than that around here.
Yes, sir.
That's straight. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God, I'm glad. I'm glad I'm in America.
Yes, sir.
I praise God again that I was born and raised in America.
Amen.
Well, there's the seeker's lips. Isaiah 6 and verse 5. Then said I, woe is me. Woe is me. He's confessing now. I'm undone. He's confessing. Anybody seeking the Lord for salvation, the first thing they'll do is confess. Anybody seeking the Lord for forgiveness, they'll be confessing their sins. So it's confession. And as soon as he confessed and got his heart right, then he got touched. And when he got touched, he got to where he could hear.
Amen.
Hear the voice of God.
Amen.
If any man have ear to hear, let him hear. What the Spirit says to the churches. 7 times in Revelation 2 and 3. To me, that says some of them couldn't hear. Some of them got in such a bad state they couldn't hear. You ever been there as a Christian?
Amen.
Been where you couldn't hear the voice of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
So we need to be sure they were able to hear the voice of the Lord. Then when he got able to hear, he's willing to go. Willing to go. Who will go for us? Who will ascend? Here am I, send me. That's what we should do today.
Amen.
We should say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm ready.
Amen.
I can't do it on my own, but I'm willing to go. I'm submitting myself to God. Now, you may not could go around the world, couldn't go to some of you, but you'd go to your neighbor.
That's right.
Go to somebody down the road. You'd be surprised people down the street might be lost.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You'd be surprised people not saved around. And if they are saved, it ain't going to hurt to ask them if they're saved. I wish somebody would ask me if I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
They'd give me a chance to preach a little. If you're saved and somebody comes up and asks you, you're saved, preach to them a little bit. Tell them about what the Lord did for you and God will bless you for it. I made a statement a few years back. I said, they told me about standing in long lines at Walmart. I said, if you preach a little, they'll let you go out first.
Yeah.
And the next afternoon, I was at Walmart and I saw a fellow was at service that Sunday night. And he said, how you doing, preacher? I said, I'm doing good. Praise God. I'm saved with the grace of God. Washed in the blood and heading for heaven. This lady standing there, she said, would you like to go out first? I said, yes, ma'am, I'll go out first. And he said, it works, don't it, preacher? I said, it works. Now, if I'd been talking about the Tennessee Vols, everybody would have perked up their ears and wanted to hear when the next game is.
Oh, man, you're right.
Ain't that right? You can pitch a ball in the middle of hell. Half of people jump in after it. We're sports crazy these days. But you go talking about the Lord and what He's done for you at the cross and how He saved you by His grace. And a lot of people, they think you ought to talk about that in the church house.
Yeah.
I said, did you know the early church had no church house?
That's right.
There's no such thing as a church house in the New Testament.
Right. Yeah.
That's an invention. I'm not against a good building.
Sure.
I'm not even against padded pews.
Right.
I'd like to go and take a nap. You ought to have a soft place to sit. But you know, somebody today, they said, you know, the others stood up and Jesus sat down and taught.
Yeah.
They stood up about 6 hours or in Ezra's day.
Yep.
They stood up.
Yes.
I'm not for you standing up all the time, but I'm saying we got so many conveniences now. Everything's got to be convenient or we won't even go to church now a lot of times.
That's right.
God help us. I hope you're saved.
Amen.
Do you know that you're saved? Everybody here know that you're saved?
Yes. Amen.
Know where you're heading when you leave it? Because you may leave out of here today. I may leave out of here today, but to die is gain if you're saved.
Amen.
Live should be Christ, die is gain. May God bless you. Let's bow our head for closing prayer with our verse of a song. Lord, we do thank you now. Praise your wonderful name for your love to us. Thank you, Lord, that you dealt with the heart, drew us to yourself, saved us by your grace. Thank you for the privilege to be here at this place. Honor the word of God we try to set forth today. there's some Christian that's cold and indifferent, I pray they make a move toward thee. There's someone here today, Lord, that's not saved. I pray this will be the day of their salvation. Have your wonderful way now in this little invitation. We'll be eternally grateful to you. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. The preacher's coming. Invitation's yours. Shall we stand? Let's sing a verse of a song. May God bless you.